Here in Richardson, Dallas, Texas, at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ, the great Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. I'm honored to stand before you to proclaim a word from the Lord. I want to thank Brother Gibbs and the elders, the leadership here at the church, for having me here. I'm honored to be here. Quite a few members from the Greenville Avenue who come through Houston, who stopped by the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and so I kind of feel at home here.
Yeah.
This almost looks like our Sunday morning assembly. So I'm gonna just make myself at home. Is that all right?
It's all right.
I'm honored. I really am honored. I just growing up in the church and going to college here in Dallas. When I was at SMU, I didn't get the chance to worship here at Greenville. Our schedule was so tight most of the time, and then at that particular time, I didn't know a lot about Greenville Avenue, and I went to another congregation that was close to the campus. But I wish I would have came here. I do. My nephews, Ryan Smith, and when he was he went to SMU also, and he worshipped here. When he was in Dallas, and so I have some other kinfolk. I just can't see you. I know you're out there somewhere. I can't see you right now. My wife is here with me, Sister Karen K.B. Smith. Her name is Karen, but everybody call her K.B. Sister K.B., raise your hand, wave your hand so everybody can see who you are. I'm always glad when my wife is able to travel with me. Matter of fact, I try not to travel without her. You know, I tell her, I tell the brother, I have a layman's preacher's class, and we have brothers who say they want to preach, and I say, if you go somewhere, take your wife with you. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, the devil is always busy, and I want my wife right there with me. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm going to dive right in. I know I'm on a timetable. I'm thankful to Brother Gibbs for assigning me the topic that he did, his perfect purpose. I love your theme. I love the vision, the direction, and I love it that the leadership is painting the vision because doesn't the Bible say the people perish without vision? And somebody has to do it, and who does it need to be? It needs to be the leaders of the church. And so we select a theme each year. At the Fifth Ward Church, we select a theme. Of course, the Bible is our theme. The Word of God is our guide. But we have to kind of paint a vision to keep the church on the mission of God. And not off the mission of God. So I love it. And we're in the third quarter, and Brother Gibbs assigned me the topic, His Perfect Purpose. I love that because it allows me to speak on my favorite person. Amen, somebody. My favorite person, past, present, and future. And, I got to admit to you that I grew up in the church, but God has brought me a long way. He really has, and I'm not sinless perfected, but I'm much better than I was 25 years ago. I think I am, and I'm humble when I say it, but I think I love the Lord more now than I did when I was going to SMU, and I hope I'm growing in the Lord. And I say that because every year I try to do a series. I dedicate a series on the life of Christ. Every Sunday we preach on Jesus. It can't be avoided, but I try to dedicate a series on the life of Christ. So this year it has been focused on the miracles of Jesus. Last year I believe it was a series I entitled the authorized biography of Jesus, and then a year before that, it was the life of Christ, and I've challenged our congregation, especially our young people. I've challenged our young people to, before you reject Jesus, study him. I mean, study his life, because after all, Jesus was and is still the most talked about. The most written about, the most controversial figure that you could ever name. out of all the figures that have ever lived in the world, he is. So at least a young people, give him a chance. Study about him. Study about his personality, about his discipline, about his focus, about his compassion, about his love, about his tolerance. And when you do that, you just compare Jesus to any other, compare him to your favorite person, the person you got a poster on the wall of, your favorite actor, your favorite athlete, compare him to anybody. And I believe if we are honest that nobody compares to Jesus. I'm serious when I say that. Nobody, you see, when I was going to school, up until probably maybe middle school, I used to think that all teachers were perfect. I mean, you know, I mean, when I say perfect, I just thought, you know, I adored, I revered the teachers, especially when I was in grade school, and teachers couldn't do no wrong. I just thought teachers knew everything. And this is not against the teachers in here. Because I know we got some teachers in there. Teachers, thank the Lord for teachers. You need to be paid more. Amen. But I soon learned the teachers wasn't perfect. Yeah, I learned the teachers wasn't perfect. I learned the teachers wasn't perfect. I got a little bit older when I was in high school. One of the teachers committed suicide. Lord have mercy. I was at school one day, and they came and arrested one teacher right in the classroom. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And then I found out one of my teachers I thought was a man was really a woman. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. What's going on with the teachers? But you know, as we get old, we recognize that nobody is perfect. Yeah, nobody is. Nobody. You know, even other. See, there have been great. There are great men. You know, I tell you what. You turn on. They have celebrations for men. You know, for these great men, and they write biographies for them. I like to watch biographies. They write biographies for them. And you know, I think about all of the entertainers. And you know, Michael Jackson died. He died on my wife and I's anniversary. And when I was coming up, boy, I was a Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was it. When I was coming up. But I soon found out Michael Jackson had some issues. Amen, somebody. Yeah, not only Michael Jackson, you name yours. Yeah, even great men, we call them great. Martin Luther King was a great man who did much for civil rights, but Martin Luther King was flawed. John F. Kennedy was what they say, one of the great presidents, but have you ever seen his biography? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so what are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm saying to you, Brother Gibbs gave me the topic, his perfect purpose. And perfect is a tough word. It's a tough word. We often say nobody's perfect, but only one is perfect in every way. And when you study him, that's what we find out. The scripture says this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, and having been made perfect. And see, perfect, the definition is two definitions because see, when we talk about perfection, we know that we're not sinless perfect, but the goal is for us as saints, as Christians, is perfection, it's maturity, it's completeness. Jesus is perfect in that way. And I didn't say was perfect because he yet lives. He is perfect. It says, having been made perfect or complete or mature, he became to all those who obey him the source or the author of eternal salvation. That's my Jesus. That's our Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the scripture says, he made him who knew no sin. That's without blemish. Who else can say that? No sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And our focus this morning is on his perfect purpose. Don't put anybody above Jesus. I gotta admit, I'm a superhero fan also. You know, superheroes, I was a kid, I have this wild imagination. I used to love the cartoons, and I liked the Avengers Endgame. I know some of y'all saw it too. I'll act like you haven't seen it. I went to see the Avengers Endgame. I loved it. I love Thor, and I like the Flash Gordon, and I kind of like Batman, you know, but Batman can't fly, you know. I'm a Superman. Yeah, I like them all. They had these superpowers, and I'm like, I remember I got in trouble when I was a little boy. I got up in a tree, and I said, I'm finna fly today. My mother caught me before I jumped. And I love that. I love the superpowers. Don't you wish you had those powers? And don't even talk about some of you old in here. See, all of those were good, but you know what my favorite was Mighty Mouse. Young folk don't even know who Mighty Mouse is. Yeah. And the Roadrunner, the Roadrunner, I used to like the Roadrunner. All of them. But you know, Jesus got them all beat. And we do know that's fantasy, right? I mean, it's stage. It's, you go to the movie and they just make it like everything is jumping off the screen. It's just all this loud music. Jesus, after he was resurrected from the grave, his apostles were in the room, and Jesus just, boom, appeared out of nowhere. Yes, that's Jesus. Jesus walked on water without any props, if you will. Yes, I'm talking about Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, after Jesus had resurrected and had this workshop with his apostles, the Bible says that he was taken up in the air. Jesus was flying. And you know what the scriptures say? When he comes back again, he's going to be flying. Amen. That's talking about Jesus, yeah. And you know what? Jesus completed his perfect purpose. He completed his purpose. Yes, he performed miracles and he preached. The scripture says in John chapter 17, verse 4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given. Jesus did everything the Father gave him to do. Oh, my goodness. Can't none of us say that. Somebody give us an assignment, we have to do it. We want to do it, we just can't do it. And Jesus accomplished everything God gave him to do. Yes, he is the perfect example who accomplished his perfect purpose. Listen to the book of Luke chapter 4. Y'all right this morning? You might as well relax a little bit, not too much. Don't go to sleep on me. Luke 4 and verse number 16. Luke 4 and verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as it was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read. Yeah, you know. If Jesus read scripture, don't you think we need to be reading some scripture? Amen. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Verse 18. Because he anointed or chose me to preach the gospel to the poor. That was part of his purpose, was to preach. Some people, Brother Gill, I get folk, you know, I'm not going to call them young folk, but you know, some folks get so innovative and you know, they want to say, well, we need to do this and we need to do that. Do you love the preach word? I believe you do. I hope we would never get so creative that we don't love the preacher. That's God's way of getting his message to the people. It's what he gave his son. He says, I want you to preach. He preached the gospel, the Bible says. The gospel still is good news. Now, I think that we have damaged the gospel in some ways. Why do I say? Because the gospel is good news. I tell you what, Brother Gibbs said it a few moments ago. You know, I feel young, but I'm kind of old. And I don't like a lot of arguing. I don't like a lot of debating. I don't like a lot. And I know sometimes we as preachers, as teachers, we have to defend the faith. But I don't like wasting a lot of time on a lot of foolishness that don't even matter. And why are you saying that? Because the gospel is good. See, there's some lost people in the world who need some good news. They need to know that the gospel is life-changing. The gospel will help you to get to heaven, but it'll help us while we're on earth. And it's good news. And he says he's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news. And he says to the poor. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to know, understand who the poor. Now he's just not talking about folk who don't have nothing physically. He's talking about the poor in spirit. He's talking about the meek and humble folk. He's talking about those who recognize that they got a problem. Amen, somebody. You know one thing? We waste a lot of time on trying to convert folk who already think they saved. And I'm not saying it's a waste of time. But you know what? God anointed Jesus to preach to people who are burdened, who understood that I need something else. And that's what Jesus did. Yeah, he did it. You look all through the scriptures. He went to the well and he was drawing some water, and a lady came to him who was full of sin. Yeah, and Jesus ministered to her. And he said he anointed me to preach the gospel. That was part of his mission. And I hope that we would never get tired of ministering to the poor in spirit. And sometimes you can't tell by what a person has on, by a person dressed, about what a person is driving. Somebody in here this morning is poor. Somebody is poor in spirit. And the gospel is for you. It gives us hope, and that's what Jesus did. Yeah, Matthew 5 and verse number 3. He was sent. I'm still in Luke. It says he was sent. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Now, who are the captives, Brother Gary? Yeah, who are the captives? That's those who are in the bonds of guilt from sin. And sin will captive. Sin will put us in prison, won't it? I know everybody in here not sinless, perfected this morning. Amen. And sin will lay some guilt on you. Amen. Yes, it will. Yeah, it'll lay some guilt on you. And the scriptures say Jesus was sent to this world to talk to sinners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to sin sinners. Mm-hmm. I like the Bible. Sometimes the Bible, when it says, you remember the woman who anointed Jesus with oil? The scripture says she was a sinner. But it didn't say exactly what sins she had committed. Now, so it's all kinds, you know, there's not one sin is big and another sin is little. Sometimes we make it that way. But I like it that it said that she was sinner, because you can have a rich man can be a sinner. Sometimes a rich man can be a bigger sinner than a poor man, because a rich man got money to do what the poor man don't have to do. Amen. A rich man can be married and have a family, and a rich man got enough money that he can fly all the way to the other side of the world and have another family over there. And the poor man can't do that. Amen, somebody. Yeah, see, I like it. See, I got a question. Is lying still a sin? I thought it was. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, lying is a sin. You know, lying is a sin. The Bible says, let him that stole, is stealing still sinning? Steal no more. And God anointed Jesus to preach to sinners. See, it's sinners that need to be saved. And you know what? One thing, see, sometimes we have to be careful how we judge people. I do too. You know, when, you know, people place membership at the church and people come to get baptized, and first thing you ask, where they come from? I know you. I mean, I'm not elders. I think the elders got an awesome responsibility to be watchers and shepherds of the church. I'm not saying you let anybody come into church without knowing what's going on. But you know, I think about Jesus. I think about Jesus. You remember that woman? You remember that woman who was caught in the very act of adultery? And it's a mindset for us, because sometimes we miss opportunities to minister to people. We miss opportunities to share the gospel with people because we label them. And we say, I don't want, if somebody came here and told you they've been married 5 times, you'd be trying to clear the pews. Tell your husband, don't you sit nowhere close to that woman. Woo! Yeah. But Jesus came to minister to sinners. Yeah. I had a preaching friend, Brother Gibbs, not long ago. I went to a workshop and he was telling me about his son. He's an older guy. He was telling me about his son was ministering. I can't remember what. No, it was overseas somewhere. And he was trying to start a working. And he was in some apartment complex, and he said he was excited because he had a Bible class with a guy, and the guy had tattoos all on his arms and all on his arm, but he was so hungry for the word, and he was teaching him and he was responding to it, and he said, "Look, man, I got some friends that need to hear this. I got some friends. Would you study with my friend?" He agreed to study with his friend. He brought his friends the next week. He brought about 12 guys. And look here, they had tattoos on their neck, on their arms, all of them. He said, "Daddy, I didn't know what to do." He said, "It kind of scared me." And his dad just asked him. He said, I asked, "Well, do they need the gospel?" He said, "Yes." And he said he went in the next week, he pulled off his coat, he pulled off his jacket, he pulled off his tie, and he baptized 4 of the guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just thought about that. I don't know if we've gotten so conditioned. You know, I don't do this at Greenville Avenue. Don't do this. Don't do this unless your elders and your preachers and your leaders agree. I grew up in the Church of Christ. I'm Church of Christ through and through, bone to bone. I'm singing the songs, taking communion, you know, wearing a suit and tie every Sunday. I'm just Church of Christ. And I love the Lord. I love that we honor God, the way we dress when we come to worship God. But I'm telling you, it's a different world out there. And I'm not saying to do anything for show. But I've been whispering to our leaders. I said, you know, every now and then, we need to take these ties off. Oh, you know, don't say that, Gary. I'm gonna tell you why. I'm just telling you. If you stop talking to people, you won't know this. But when you start ministering to folk who in the world, and a guy tell you, he said, I don't have nothing. I'm uncomfortable. I see the way y'all dress, and I ain't coming out, y'all. No, that ain't my. And that bothers me. It bothers me. And I'm just saying, so this is what we did. This is what we did. One Sunday, we did this. Every year, we have a theme. And we do T-shirts every year. We have something with our theme on it. And so we agreed the first Sunday of the year, we get T-shirts are free. Well, I say they're free. Nothing free. I mean, we don't, the church, individual members don't pay it, but it comes out the treasure, so it still comes from the church. And so one of the Sundays, we all wear our T-shirts. All wear our T-shirts to worship. And I was surprised. Everybody just was. The mood was light, and we worshiped God. And I had my T-shirt on. I had my T-shirt on, but I still had my tie under the. Some just told you put that tie on, boy. But you know what? We got some kickback. You know some members. Oh, I just can't do it. I just, something wrong with it. If it violates your conscience, You know, we said if you don't want to wear it, don't wear it. You know, we understand. But I'm just saying, let's not remember, let's not forget. You see, there's some folk who are hurting, who are deep in sin. And I'm not saying that's the way to, but I'm saying let's, Paul, I love it. Paul said, I've become all things to all men that I might win some. And I understand that. Sometimes you have to meet people where they are. Jesus came, he came to release the captives from the guilt of sin. In the church now, I'm going to stop at my proper time. In the church now, we got all kinds. We look good, but we got some issues. If you've been in the church, I know Brother Gibbs can testify to this. You've been in church a while, you know, you got families there, and then divorce creeps in the church. It puts a strain on the church, on families in the church. Some want to worship here, some leave, some take sides in the church. Can a divorced person still get to heaven? Lord, Lord have mercy. Is there a word for the divorced who's captive? And I'm not trying to say the guilty party, the innocent party. I'm not even getting to that. I just asked the question. Yeah, Jesus ministered. He talked to this woman. She'd been married 5 times. And the one she was with, she wasn't even married to. The woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, I love it. Let him that is without sin cast the first stone. But he told that woman, he says, you go and you do what? Yeah. Now, it's no easy street. It's no other laws for somebody who's not doing the will of God. But there still is hope if we follow God's word. Yeah. Now we don't keep on sinning, but still there is encouragement from the word of God. And listen to this. He says this, and I'm hastening. And recovery of sight to the blind. Yeah. You know we got some blind folk in this world. And not literally blind, not physically blind, but maybe that too, but who live in darkness. There's still some people who don't know the truth. Simply don't know. Some of us, we know the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. We know that. We know the scriptures. We know what a person must do to be saved. There's still a lot of folk who don't know that. And that person, that individual is blind. You know, there are still a lot of people who don't even go to anybody's church at all. Jesus was sent to the blind folk. Yeah, folks who are blind. And then you got folk in the church that's blind. Amen. I know none not here this morning, but what do you mean, Brother Gary? See, those who've been blinded, maybe they once saw, but the bright lights of the world blinded them. Lord have mercy. Anybody in here I know? One of the problems we have at Fifth Ward is young people grow up in the church and they move out of Houston and come to a place like Dallas and just go buck wild. I mean Las Vegas. I didn't mean Dallas. they forget what they've been taught. Somebody gets in their ear. There's a lot of strange teaching. I don't know if y'all had this down there. One young lady called me, and she'd been to a gathering of the Hebrew Israelites. she called me crying. She said, "Brother, I need to talk to you." And I said, and we met and we talked, and she was telling me she went to this meeting, this friend of hers, and the guy with the Hebrew Israelites, and he said, "Brother, he knew the Bible, and he was talking some things." And she said, I'm confused. He's all this stuff. The blacks, we the real Jews, and I'm Jesus. And I said, "Hold, so wait a minute, baby." She said, but there's still something wrong, because it seems like they just hate white people. And I said, "That's a big clue to you right there. Anything that's promoting hatred, vengeance, is definitely not of God. The Bible says God is love." And see, anything that denounces who Jesus is, we need to hurry up and run away from. See, that's why you need to study it. Because Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." But still, you got folk who believe it, and they just hook, line, and sinker. Then you get involved in that foolishness, and you find all the flaws. You find that the leaders are flawed. You find they want more than that. They want your money. They want your allegiance. They want sex with you. But they've been blind, and they'll tell you, "I don't fool all that. Oh, listen, y'all just been brainwashing us." I say, "What they doing to you right now?" And so Jesus came to open the eyes. But you'll see in many instances, even in the Word of God, the folk who were supposed to know the Bible, the Pharisees and the scribes, he was harder on them than ordinary people. Why? Because they knew the scriptures. And they were just trying to use the scriptures to keep people within their power. Yeah, and lots of individuals listened to Jesus, but a lot did not. Yeah, he said this. He said to set free those who are oppressed. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. To set free those who are oppressed. That, you know, there are, it just seems like there are individuals who get the bad lot in life, who it seems like they don't get the advantages of life. You know, you grow up in a home that's not a daddy or a mother. You grow up in a family that's deprived of physical things, and are you in a position where it seems like somebody got their foot on you? And Jesus says, I came to preach and teach to free those who are oppressed. And see, that's why he established his kingdom. That's why the church is so important, because the church is to fill the gap. The church is to become the family who is a father, who is a mother, who is an example, who provides needs, benevolent needs, who provides encouragement. You know, one place we ought to be able to come to get some encouragement is in the Lord's house. I love, there's a song we sang Sunday morning. I love Sunday mornings. And I love the spirit. I love the spirit when I walked in here this morning. Brother Gibbs couldn't get down to the front. "How you doing?" "Hey, Brother Gibbs, how you doing?" I said, "Oh, they like that preacher." Listen, church, there's some churches that don't happen in. Amen. And Jesus came to preach. To free the oppressed. I ask the question every now and then at the Lord in the church. You know, sometimes we forget how blessed we are. And I ask every question. Did everybody in here this morning eat breakfast or eat something this morning? One brother said, "I ain't ate yet." I said, "Somebody go get him some food." I say that because there are not to be in the Lord's church There are not to be one member in the family of God who don't have something to eat. Amen. Yeah. And the church is a benevolent place, and Jesus came and he proved that over and over again. His disciples, they wanted to send the people away. Send the people away. It's too many people. He said, Jesus, sit them down. He said, sit them down. We don't have nothing to eat, Jesus. You got the bread of life right here. And I say it because, see, Jesus gave us this example. Sometimes our faith won't let us do things that the Lord will allow us to do because we don't have faith, but we the church. And we can do great things for God, and we can help those who are oppressed. I love Jesus, his perfect purpose. He accomplished it while he was here. Example after example. Example after example. I'm going to finish the rest of this tonight. I got a whole another page and a half, and I'm going to stop, Brother Gears. I'm going to do right. But I want to issue an invitation. Jesus, he accomplished his perfect purpose, not for his well-being. You remember Jesus left the courts of heaven to come to here, to earth. I can't fathom that. I can't even fathom. See, and when Jesus was on earth, when he was getting, he says, now, Father, in John chapter 17, glorify me with the glory I had before the world was. He said, I've accomplished everything that you've asked me to do. I've died on the cross. Let me say this to you. The church is God's glory machine. It's where he receives glory. That's why he tells us to be the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. It is where God receives all the glory. And when we are pleasing God the most, while we on this earth, is when we as the family of God are carrying out God's mission. And I want to invite someone here today who is struggling, who has guilt on them. See, the guilt of sin, when you're outside of Christ, when you're outside of Christ, there is no hope for sin. But never forget this. Jesus came to die for our sins. He came to be the Lamb that would wash away all our sin. And God didn't ask us to die on the cross like Jesus did, thank you, Lord. But he did tell us to do something. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, God's way for you to be in his family is you have to humble yourself to at least listen to God's message. You got to believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is. And notice this, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I thank the Lord that we don't have to be perfect as Jesus was, because Jesus was perfect. But we got to submit to his will. And he says, those who diligently seek, as long as we're on this earth, those of you that's been in the church for 40 years like I have, you better keep diligently seeking him. And every time we mess up, we better fess up. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell your neighbor to accept your repent. These are for those who are not in the family yet. See, there's this very popular teaching that you know, all it takes is faith for you to be saved, and once you're saved, you're always saved. Don't you believe that? Repentance is a changed mind about sin. That's why Jesus came to die for our sin. It's a changed mind about sin. I don't want to sin anymore. I want a different life. I lived that life. I tried that. I'm going to do it God's way. And that's your mindset. Even when you get in Christ, keep that mindset that I don't want to live this life. But the beauty is, once you get in Christ, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. That's my hope. That's why I'm in the family, because I even as a preacher, things come to my mind sometimes, where did that come from? And all I do is say a quick prayer, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. And the scriptures say he's faithful and just to forgive me all of my sins. You have to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes. Whosoever therefore confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who's in heaven. If you deny me, I'll deny you. In other words, you can't be ashamed. You're a Christian. You can't be ashamed. You're in the family of God. And you must be baptized in water for them. That's what God, that's God. Jesus left that to his apostles for the remission of your sins. Is there anyone in here wants to be baptized? Is anyone here that needs to be redeemed, need to be renewed, need to be refreshed? You have all of that in Christ Jesus. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Jesus is Lord, my